Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth. The rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Roaring Truth, this month's episode of Roaring Truth with myself and my co-host, Jim Fetzer. Good morning, Jim.
Oh, Maria, it's great to be on with you again. This has been a fascinating week.
Week? Oh, my God. Just a month since we last talked. We have so many stories.
It's like a year of passage in time politically these days. It's unreal.
I know. It's absolutely crazy. Well, on the good news side, we got rid of two this past month. We got rid of John Kasich, as I like to call him, and Ted Cruz. I don't understand, because God told him to be president, like Ben Carson. So what happened? Is their God fallible?
Well, it's absolutely fascinating, Maria, the disappearance of Ted Cruz, which appears to have more than one explanation. The fact is, Trump has now completed his hostile takeover of the Republican Party, where he's been fought every step of the way by the establishment. He's defeated 16 alternative candidates, which was initially described as perhaps the strongest set of alternatives the Republican Party had ever put up. He won one triumphant victory after another, except for Texas, Ohio, and Wisconsin. And I knew that Wisconsin was stolen. In fact, the day of the vote here, which was 5 April, I was actually in a studio downtown with a local radio host at 9 a.m. explaining what was going to happen, that they were going to have a Cruz victory to set back Trump, even though Trump had a lead of 10 points up until the last poll that suddenly had him 10 points behind, which was absurd. They were going to minimize the Bernie Sanders margin of victory over Hillary to benefit her. And they were going to put a bim bet on the Supreme Court that Scott Walker has promoted to three successively higher judicial positions in three successive years, for which he's manifestly unqualified. But this thing in Indiana, Maria, was absolutely fascinating, where it turns out there was a blogger was looking into the background of the Cruz family in advance. His name is Gary Welsh, W-E-L-S-H, and he published a piece about mysteries of the Cruz family, which was complimentary to the National Enquirer article showing a famous photograph of Lee Oswald standing in front of the trademark. And Maria, I know one of the figures who's in that photograph. When you see an uncropped version over at the right, there's a short guy whose name was Chauncey Marvin Holt. He was a counterfeiter, a forger, an artist. He worked as a contract agent for the CIA. He was directed by his handler, Philip Twombly, to prepare 15 sets of Ford Secret Service credentials for use in and around Dealey Plaza. When he got there, he was supposed to leave him in a red pickup truck, but it wasn't there in the parking lot behind the grassy knoll, which was used by the Dallas police. He wandered around Dealey Plaza. He told me he saw more mercenaries, more bad guys and assassins than you'd find at a Soldiers of Fortune convention. He went back and the pickup truck was there, so he left the Secret Service documents there and proceeded down to the railway area behind the parking lot in the company of two others. Charles Harrelson, who was a hitman for the mob, he's the father of actor Woody Harrelson, and someone he knew as Richard Montoya, who turns out to be Charles Rogers, a very dangerous guy about whom a book was written, The Man on the Grassy Knoll. They were told to go to a railway car that would appear to be locked, but not actually. They climbed in and found it was filled with weapons, ammunition, and explosives. These guys were subsequently apprehended and marched through Dealey Plaza and known as the Three Tramps. Well, the one in the beginning, in the front, is Charles Rogers the second, the tallest, Charles Charleston the third, the shortest with a hat, Chauncey Marvin Holt, often mistaken for E. Howard Hunt. Chauncey has reported that everyone in that photograph in front of the trademark, which of course was run by Clay Shaw, who was the target of Jim Garrison's investigation, as anyone who has ever seen Oliver Stone's masterful film, JFK, is aware, was a member of Operation Mongoose, which was an effort to, you know, conduct sabotage, hit and run operations and the like to implicate Fidel Castro as a bad guy, and where Lee Oswald was being given a false persona as a pro-Castro communist sympathizer. The man on the far left, whose figure is often clipped out, is actually Michael Payne, who was the husband of Ruth Payne, both with CIA ties. Ruth actually arranged for Lee to go to work at the book depository just 2 weeks before the motorcade would come by. And would you believe, Maria, in addition to our having these photographs at Cruz, where Judith Berry at the time, who was working with Lee and David Ferry under the supervision of Dr. Mary Sherman, so they used to joke about their names, Mary, Ferry, and Berry, on a rapid-acting cancer vaccine, which Jack Ruby believes he was injected with, and I'm confident that that was indeed the case. She said she actually met Rafael Cruz in New Orleans when she was there with Lee. But would you believe, in addition, I discovered that on my own book, my very first of my three assassination books entitled Assassination Science, there's a photograph, very famous color photograph of the limousine Jack and Jackie on Main Street just before they turn onto Houston, where when they turn from Houston onto Elm just one block later, they were in the kill zone, where you can actually see Rafael Cruz there on Main Street in the company of Antonio Viciana, who was the organizer, the founder of Alpha 66, one of the most vicious of all of the anti-Castro organizations. And where it turns out, get this, that Rafael Cruz fled to Canada after the assassination, where he went to work for the Bush Oil Company, Zapata Oil in Canada, only subsequently to return in the form of the guise of a minister, a pastor, even though he had no church. And he had become virtually messianic about his son becoming president of the United States. He was praying that something bad should happen to Donald Trump. I'm convinced that when this story broke in the National Enquirer about 10 days before the primary, and Donald Trump asked the press why they weren't following up, I believe the CIA was too concerned that this was drawing too much attention to the agency and its role in the assassination, and they told Cruz he had to shut down his operation. This blogger, who is also a lawyer in Indiana, Maria, by the way, was found dead just a few days before. And I'm suspicious that Rafael Cruz may have resorted to the old ways. I mean, in his time, it was a common practice to take out witnesses related to the assassination. We have two books about over 100 dead witnesses, one edited by Craig Roberts, who was a sniper and published a book called Killzone, the other by John Armstrong, who's advanced the thesis that there were actually two different Lee Oswalds entitled JFK, the Dead Witnesses, and then another more recent by Richard Belzer that goes into all these deaths in much more detail. Mm-hmm. But it would not surprise me, Maria, if he had decided this blogger had to be silenced because he was threatening to expose the CIA trail that led up to his son, whom I now believe was a CIA and Bush crime family candidate once Jeb had been pushed out of the way.
Well, but either way, he still didn't get the nomination. And it was interesting to me that it was like just a day or two. Think about the timing on this. Ted Cruz knows he's losing. He picks Colly Fiorina, another loser, announces her as his vice president before a convention, which is not done. And then the day after, when that story broke from the National Enquirer with Rafael Cruz is out of the race. Just that alone is so suspicious.
What startled the Republican leadership, Maria, is that Cruz had said, win or lose in Indiana, he'd been through California on June 7th. So that they were all caught with their pants down. This was all unexpected. And I can think of no explanation for Cruz's virtual disappearance from the public scene than that he got the word from the CIA that this was too hot an issue, and he had to quiet it. In fact, a number of other investigative journalists have been on this, including Wade Manson, who believes that Cruz withdrew for the twin reasons that there was the great prospect that all of his marital infidelities were going to be exposed, where the National Enquirer once again was the first to publication to break the story, for which there's been an enormous amount of confirmation, and then that his father was tied in, not just to Lee Oswald, but was on the periphery of the assassination of JFK. That was just too explosive a combination.
Right.
So Lee Manson has now published several articles about it, where I regard him as our nation's leading investigative journalist.
Absolutely. Well, you know, people immediately wanted to say, well, the photograph was in the National Enquirer because I watched them question Trump on that. But the truth of the matter is it was the National Enquirer that brought down the campaign of John Edwards. And they were right. Do you know what I mean? They were right about John Edwards' affair.
And before that, of Gary Hart.
Exactly. So why would we question that?
The photograph of Donna Rice sitting on his lap in front of a yacht that was named Monkey Business, that sealed the deal right there. And John Edwards, they exposed, had a whole separate family and a separate child, even while his wife Elizabeth, whom the country adored, was dying of cancer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I remember the story. But, you know, no one wants to believe the National Enquirer. Even though they tend to be right, they seem to be the first ones out there with the story. Kind of reminds you of that newspaper in Florida that questioned 9/11 during the anthrax hoax going on, and how the owner of that paper was killed. Remember that?
Yes, and as you're observing, actually, it's a elementary fallacy to judge the truth of a story by its source. You can have a unreliable source that nevertheless has an accurate story. Indeed, the National Enquirer has a very good track record when it comes to exposing shenanigans by presidential candidates. Just to elaborate on this Ted Cruz mistress story, a columnist for the Washington Times was fired after he tweeted confirmation that at least two of the mistresses who were named were accurate. We have, of course, the expose that the senator had his office had a subscription to the Ashley Madison adultery newsletter, and where the attorney for the D.C. madam has been going crazy trying to get permission from the courts to reveal the names in her little black book, which he says is of national significance in relation to the presidential campaign.
Right.
I discussed the matter about a month ago with Jeff Rentz, and he confirmed to me that indeed it was Ted Cruz whose name was in there, and he sent me a copy of the page that listed him.
Well, I'm not surprised, because these religious zealots are all so holy. They're the original do as I say, not as I do people.
He's a complete hypocrite and fraud. I mean,
of course.
The Donald has had a fairly, you know, risque life at certain times. He was cavorting with all these gorgeous models and all that. He never made a secret of it. He went on to the, you know, Howard Stern show, talked about his sex life and all that. It wouldn't matter a whit if Donald were in the book, but when you have a guy who presents himself as a paragon of moral virtue, who claims to represent evangelical Christians, who turns out to be a serial adulterer, that's a whole nother story.
Absolutely. I'm not arguing that. I was pretty, got to tell you this, it's an interesting and fun campaign to watch, because when Trump came out slamming Hillary Clinton during her husband's affairs, I knew for sure, you know, he was referring to Roger Stone's book on, you know, the Clinton's war on women, and I couldn't argue with it, and I was like, wow, the low blows are going to be I have never seen low blows like this election with it. Everything's like a free for all. Have you?
Well, no, but he has to weaken up Hillary's hold on women, which is largely based upon an illusion. So he has to do something to try to reset the meter on Hillary. And there's so much dirt on her and Bill. Maria goes back to Mena, Arkansas, and drug dealing there. I mean, there are going to be a series of stages here of successively deeper and deeper, more and more corrupt revelation relating to Hillary. And would you believe it, now believes that it turns out this whole email thing is even a greater scandal than we believed heretofore. I mean, it's absolutely stunning.
I agree, but they so far, though, are not going to depose her. The FBI yesterday kind of gave her a pass, and the only person they've really interviewed is her girlfriend.
Well, I don't know. Judge Napoliano was on last night. I believe it was with Megyn Kelly, and he was saying that all the emails related to the IT guy who installed her server are missing from the record. Mm-hmm. That they have already interviewed five different members of her staff who are related to this, and that it's not the case that information to be secret has to be stamped secret, and that Hillary knew that she had to sign an agreement that she would be responsible and judge the sensitivity of documents on the basis of their content. And where it even turns out that she had directed one of her correspondents to wipe out the word secret on one of these documents in order to send it to her through her server, the judge believes, and if what he's saying, I think he's absolutely right, that when Hillary claims that no one has contacted her personally, that's because they contacted her attorney and she's simply trading on an equivocation.
Right, right. Well, you think about it. I don't remember how many minutes of tape Richard Nixon had erased, which caused him to resign. But it was a drop in the bucket compared to what Hillary's done, and yet she's still running for president.
And get this, the judge also dropped another bombshell. He said there's a debate going on within the Kremlin as to whether Russia should release over 20,000 emails they hacked from Hillary's server.
Wow. Crazy days indeed. Let me ask you this. Do you think, you know, looking at all the opposition Trump is getting, the entire Bush family saying they're not going to vote for Trump, which I found very interesting, do you think that Trump is in danger of being assassinated?
Well, I think that's always been a risk. William Bennett made that observation toward the beginning that, you know, the establishment would never allow him to become president because the consequences would be so enormous. But I have no doubt that tremendous security precautions are being taken. He not only has Secret Service, he has his own private security. I think he's, relatively safe, but it absolutely cannot be ruled out. And the fact is that he's been able to manage this takeover of the Republican Party against overwhelming opposition. I mean, it's stunning. The odds would have been greater than 1,000 to 1 that he could have pulled it off in the beginning, and yet he's had one triumph after another. Where, I believe I didn't complete my thought about Gary Condit Jr., I've interviewed this fellow. He's running for John Bonner's old seat in Ohio. He keeps his ear close to the ground, and he explained to me that both the Cruz victory in Texas and the Kasich victory in Ohio were engineered using electronic voting machines. Everyone in Texas was talking about Trump. And while they may feel affection for Kasich, he would not have legitimately won Ohio. So when you put together Ohio and Texas and Wisconsin as speed bumps, Wisconsin, I thoroughly investigated, and we had really substantial polls right before the election showing Trump with enormous leads in all 8 districts in Wisconsin. I mean, like 63-37. I mean, in all 8 of the districts, he had a major lead. So the whole thing here was fraudulent. I enlisted the assistance of a brilliant statistician by the name of Richard Charnin, who's published 2 books about the theft of elections using voting machines. And Charnin confirmed to me that 5 different elections in Wisconsin had been stolen using these voting machines, including Scott Walker's recall election, including a previous Supreme Court election that put a guy named Foster on the court, including his contest with Mary Burke, where there was tremendous Democratic support, where Michelle had been brought in twice, Obama once, the big dog Bill Clinton. There was a historic turnout, which traditionally favors Democrats. And yet, as Charnin discovered in Milwaukee County, for example, which is a bastion of Democratic support, the greater the number of votes cast, the greater the percentage of the vote that went to the Republican candidate, which is simply absurd. So if you discount those three, you realize that Trump has been cleaning up everywhere, and the only places he's been defeated are where they were rigging the vote.
Exactly. Well, Bernie Sanders has been doing the same, suing the Democratic Party.
Yes.
I mean, I do like the fact that Trump seems to be on Bernie's side, which is interesting. My thing is, though, if you look at so many articles, so many polls, if it came down to Trump and Hillary, they are hated by the general population. Neither one of them is liked. So, thought is, you know, what's going to happen? You know, what's really going to happen here?
But Maria, this is the year of the outsider. One of them is a 30-year insider with a very long record, which may become the subject of the national election as a referendum on Hillary's conduct. And I guarantee it's not going to be flattering to Hillary. Trump, I believe, is likely to gain the support of two-thirds of the Sanders voters because he and Bernie are on the same side on major issues like trade. Both of them are opposed to NAFTA and the TPP for excellent reasons. Where the TPP, for example, would abolish the sovereignty of all 14 nations that are participants in the treaty should it be ratified, where it creates a board of international lawyers who can override the statutes and laws of any nation, including the Constitution of the United States. So Barack Obama just somehow forgot to mention to us that we'll no longer be a sovereign nation if we ratify the TPP. And where they are both opposed to these endless wars in the Middle East, beginning with 9/11, where Bernie voted against the war in Iraq, and Trump has explained how we have squandered $4 to $5 trillion and brought about nothing but chaos. How much better if we had that money here in the United States to deal with our infrastructure, our roads, our schools, and the like, and where they're both very strong proponents of the Second Amendment, where Hillary has even appealed to the families of the so-called survivors of Sandy Hook, which was an elaborate charade. No one died. It was a two-day FEMA drill. I mean, Hillary's on the wrong side of these major issues, Maria, and I believe Trump has the ability to take her down.
Well, it's an interesting day. She certainly doesn't have, you know, my vote as a woman, and the millennials certainly have no interest in her. And when you talk about Bernie Sanders, most of his constituents or followers, whatever you want to call it, you know, say it's Bernie or bust, you know, and they're looking towards. And now you can even see on mainstream media where all of a sudden they're covering third party candidates. You know, I saw Gary Johnson on TV. I saw Jill Stein. You know, everybody seems to be running around like a chicken without their head, like they're all in a state of terror.
Well, they are in a state of terror because the idea that Trump would be elected and stop their gravy train, their cozy relations with corporations and the military-industrial complex, it would be a major transformation, Maria. I was quite stunned when a financial expert came on to the Fox Business News program to say that if Trump were elected president, that it would be just as significant, the transformations that would be brought about, as when FDR introduced the New Deal.
Well, they say the same about Bernie, too. So, you know. But
I'm all for Bernie. If I thought he could overcome, I mean, if we had a contest between Trump and Bernie, that would be the best possible situation for the American people. Because they're going to come out ahead either way. But the fact is, I believe that when the Bernie supporters, assuming they're outmaneuvered by Hillary, who has a tremendous machine and all the money on her side, should prevail, then I think their realization that Trump represents the same positions, the core positions of Bernie. Trump is not going to cut entitlements. Trump's even talking now about cutting the taxes on the rich, which is, of course, a very good idea. I believe that in the end, Maria, on the basis of a cost-benefit analysis, he's going to come around and adopt a Medicare for all as a single-payer best solution to the nation's health care needs, which will dramatically cut the federal budget, dramatically cut expenses for families for health care, and I think seal the deal with most of Bernie's supporters.
Well, I guess it'll be interesting times to follow. I've noticed some people posting different false flags today. There was I found it to be relatively small, false flag, I believe, in Germany. Another one in the UK where they were doing a drill and then they admitted they made a mistake when they had their fake suicide bomber yell out, Allah Akbar. And then you had sent me an article this morning about a false flag or a shooting that's supposed to happen tomorrow in Tucson. I don't know if this is all distraction or what.
Are specified. Well, one says Tucson, one says Phoenix, but it looks as though they published it prematurely, that there's supposed to be all these deaths and wounding tomorrow, Maria. It seems to have been published a day early, which, of course, is absolute guarantee that it's a phony staged event.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know another big story going around was about the supposed ICE agent that committed suicide in New York and left a note behind saying the government's going to round up, disarm Americans, throw us in FEMA camps. And that went around like wildfire on social media yesterday. And then I went over to Snopes and it said it was a hoax story. But I have to tell you, even when it was first sent to me, Jim, I said, wait a minute, I remember reading this before. And unless my memory's failing me, do you remember when that man flew a single-engine plane into the IRS? I forget what state it was. Maybe a year or so ago, where he left behind his suicide note. It surely seemed almost word for word to what this story has. So I'm kind of hesitant to even talk about it. Because it's...
But look how clever that would be to try to disarm the public from belief in something that may, in fact, actually happen. I mean, how can a guy commit suicide if he's not serious about it, if this note isn't real? Frankly, I found it profoundly troubling because Obama has been going way out of his way to confiscate our guns. We do have all these FEMA camps. DHS did acquire 2 billion rounds of 40 caliber hollow point ammunition. We know from a Senate subcommittee report published way back on 3 October 2012 that there's no domestic terrorism in the United States based upon its review of 680 fusion center reports where fusion centers merged federal, state, and local anti-terrorist activity gathered between 2009 and 2010, wherein they found not a single instance of domestic terrorist activity, not one, zilch, zero, nada, zip. And not even a single instance where a fusion center had actually interrupted or stopped a planned terrorist attack. All this nonsense about terrorism in the United States is complete and total rubbish for the propagandistic purpose of confiscating our weapons, which, of course, was the principal rationale behind Sandy Hook, where just a month and 2 days after the staged event on the 14th of December, 2012, on the 16th of January, 2013, Barack Obama signed no less than 23 executive orders to constrain our access to weapons under the Second Amendment. So then here you have a guy who took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, going about a very aggressive attack on the Second Amendment, which is one of our most vital rights under the law.
Well, you know, when I see articles like that, I always quote you, Jim. That's what I post. I say, as Jim Fetzer, would say, when they come for your guns, that's the time to use them.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Can't say it any clearer than that. But you just look at it, and it's like, oh my God! And you know, the Tucson story. I guess we'll have to see if since it was printed today and supposed to happen tomorrow. You know, sort of like how they set up all that fundraisers for Sandy Hook days before Sandy Hook happened.
That's right. There was so much confusion by participants between the rehearsal on the 13th and going live on the 14th that many of the participants put up donation websites a day before the event. And even Adam Lanza, the alleged shooter's date of death was initially recorded in the Social Security death indexes, having occurred on the 13th, making his feeding shooting 20 children and 6 adults the following day all the more remarkable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Unless he was Nostradamus on speed. Jim, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us. Jim and I will be right back.
We have so much fun.
I know. Hold on a second. I don't know what's happening here. Hold on a second, man. This is a crazy month.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars, roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Rhea's in it just like you are. Often imitated but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Okay, welcome back to Roaring Truth with my co-host, Jim Fetzer. Jim, yesterday on my show, I was giving out the staggering figure of how much money is being spent on these conventions just for security. $50 million in Cleveland. When I read off the list of weapons, 10,000 of those plastic handcuffs, the weapons, this and that, for the use on the people outside the convention, supposedly inside the Secret Service has it under control. But how many different law enforcement agencies, how many different weapons are going to be used on Americans? I look at this and I think of freedom and democracy. And our country looks as closed and tyrannical and dictatorial and a prison state as any worst country on earth to me.
Well, you know, George Soros has been paying a lot of protesters to protest at Trump events. And so has Hillary Clinton. We had one fellow involved in a protest out in Arizona, your neck of the woods, to block, you know, access to the Trump rally there, who was paid $3,500. And he said he was working for a group of 60-year-old women and told that if he was asked who was involved in this, he was supposed to talk enthusiastically about Bernie Sanders. But he was convinced these were people who were supporting Hillary Clinton. So Hillary, you know, is perfectly willing to use all the techniques of the trade, and where it turns out that at least, the exit polls are very telling as to who actually won. In Europe, they use exit polls to determine the winner, where the tabulated vote is simply the formal confirmation. Where Sanders won the exit poll in Illinois, but it was given to Hillary. Sanders won the exit poll in Ohio, but it was given to Hillary. Sanders won the exit poll in Missouri, but it was given to Hillary. She's willing to play dirty. She might be able to get away with that in relation to Bernie Sanders, but she won't in relation to Donald Trump.
Well, you know, with the scary part of all this militarized equipment that they provide in Cleveland is they get to keep it after the convention's over. And when you look at the military mindset of the police already in this country since they've been militarized, this is like a war on Americans.
Well, remember, that was part of the note from that, Customs and Immigration agent who was found dead, you know, shot himself, suicide, the note. He was saying that this is part and parcel of the militarization to bring the police into a role of rounding up American citizens and putting us in FEMA camps. And frankly, I've been apprehensive that that was going to happen for quite a long time. And I don't know if you caught it, but it was very peculiar when Barack Obama, as a throwaway line, said something about this being the last days of the Republic.
Oh, I watched his skit at the correspondents' dinner. He says, "I'm so happy to be here in the last days of the Republic. You're doing a great job."
Yes.
And I was like, "Wow, there it is, right in your face." You know, many a truth is said in jest.
He has signed a whole host of executive orders that gives him control over every aspect of commerce, transportation, communication. I mean, you know, really, this guy is setting himself up to be the dictator of the United States. And, of course, because like Ted Cruz, he was not actually a natural-born citizen. He really wasn't entitled to serve as president. And it's not surprising that someone like him or like Ted Cruz or even Marco Rubio, for that matter, wouldn't feel the same degree of allegiance and loyalty to the United States, its history, its values and traditions as those of us who are actual native-born citizens of this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you this, his delivery on stand-up is excellent. So I think that could be his next career. Maybe that should have been his first and only career.
Well, remember, he made the joke about it. He said, if this goes over well here, he said, "I'm going to use it at Goldman Sachs and get some serious Tubmans."
Oh, yeah. He made a lot of digs at Hillary during that skit that he did. But I thought
his high point because, of course, this civil rights worker, Tubman, is being put on replacing Andrew Jackson. I guess it's on the 20.
Yeah, it's on the 20.
And I thought that was a very humorous remark by our present president.
I know. I thought a lot of his material was pretty good. I hate to say it, but there you go. But I mean, even that, you know, when you look at the class and the style that we've gotten used to, even if it was fake, Jim, all these years since you and I were kids, of the way we would look at our president and first lady. When you look at it now, we might as well be watching a Kardashian reality show.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to be an American in these days. You know,
isn't it ironic that in a year of populism, our candidates are a billionaire and a millionaire, assuming Hillary gets it? I mean, the only one who actually has lived the life of a normal person here in the United States is Bernie Sanders.
And I personally believe that if they haven't, you know, his tax return last year, I think it was $270,000. I've been saying for years, no one should be allowed to represent us if they have a total net value more than $500,000, which is a high figure. But since most Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, most Americans, according to statistics, don't even have $1,000 in the bank. So to me, I always go back to taxation without representation. Because these people haven't represented us in forever. You know, they're just corporate shills, and that's the way it goes. You know, they don't really care about us, as Michael Jackson would have sang. And you look at all these people, I believe, that are being murdered, no different than John Lennon or, you know, some of our singers in the 60s were murdered, because the world is designed this way. People don't understand. Our leaders don't want change because they designed it this way. You know, I have friends, Jim, that have to choose between going to a doctor and can I afford to? And that should not happen in America.
It was Mark Twain who observed that if voting made any difference, they wouldn't let us do it.
Exactly. But then you got to also look at if that is true, why are they trying to steal and suppress the vote so much? That's another interesting question.
Well, I think it's for management, psychological management. It's for public relations. They want us to think we're making a difference. This is one of the great benefits of the Trump campaign, of course, exposing that the whole system is rigged. And would you believe that several states now are, the Democrats are passing motions to abolish the superdelegates?
And that should be.
Which, of course, were introduced to guarantee that the party could pick its nominee, and where Hillary from the beginning had this staggering advantage with respect to superdelegates. I think Bernie's campaign is transforming attitudes, and where Trump is simply exposed like a bull in a china shop. The rigged character of the Republican Party. I mean, it's absolutely stunning in and of itself.
Well, what do you think about the fact that people are saying the Republican Party is dead, it's over, And so many Republicans don't want to vote Republican anymore. A lot of Republicans saying they won't back Trump, including Paul Ryan. And doesn't the House, Speaker of the House, have to endorse the nomination?
Well, Paul Ryan simply said he wasn't ready to endorse yet. He subsequently acknowledged that if Trump doesn't want him to chair the convention, he will step down from that role. But they're meeting this week on Thursday. And I expect there will be some, mending of differences taking place here. I believe in the end, a large segment of the party will come together. But I also believe that Trump is correct when he says it's not necessary for us to have a party unity in the old sense, because he's bringing in so many blue-collar Democrats, so many independents. He's already acquired more Republican votes than any candidate in history. He has elevated participation in these Republican primaries by over 60%. The Republicans ought to be ecstatic about it, except that he's not a traditional Republican, where the party in the past has stood for free trade. So they've been behind all these trade policies that are gutting the manufacturing and industrial base of the United States for the benefit of corporations. They've been supportive of all these wars, especially since 9/11, which, of course, greatly benefit the military-industrial complex. They've been for cutting entitlements, where Trump has already made it clear he's not going to cut entitlements. And if I'm right, he's going to adopt Bernie Sanders' approach about health care and go for Medicare for all, which will not only bring about immense savings for the people, but be another government program that actually does good for the people. I mean, remember, while there was all that controversy in the beginning about Bernie Sanders being a self-declared socialist, the programs that made the most difference to the average people in the United States, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation, right, those are all socialistic programs. So I think Bernie has really, burnished the notion of government doing good for the people, which the Republicans historically have opposed.
What a concept. What a concept.
Oh,
yeah. About a month ago, Obama had a meeting where he had said that Bernie Sanders should just resign from the race and back Hillary Clinton. But now you have movements online asking Hillary to step down and get out of the way. And I know you had sent me off somebody else's blog that Hillary should concede to Bernie before the FBI reveals its findings.
Well, I actually believe, based upon Judge Napolitano's report, that she's actually in far more serious straits than she allows, and that she's putting on a good face about it. But I think there's a real risk here, notwithstanding that Obama and no doubt Loretta Lynch, it seems to me, are willing to go way out of their way to support Hillary. I think if the evidence is clear-cut that she has committed serious violations of law, about which I believe at this point there is no doubt, that they will have to confront the alternative of upholding their duty as officials of the government or compromising themselves to benefit someone they happen to prefer politically. It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out, but it's one of those cases where we could see a host of resignations from the Department of Justice if Hillary is not prosecuted. That's my take.
Well, you know, another story that I saw yesterday was that this Trump University lawsuit is being postponed till after the nomination for Trump to have to testify. So I find that interesting, too. I was like, wow, how convenient. So what happens if you're already a sitting president and now you have to testify and you prove fraudulent? Do they knock him out of the game? And of course, my only thought was George W. Bush. OK, remember, and I'm never going to let loose on this one, Jim. Bush had his 9/11 the day before the recount was supposed to be announced on September 12th, which unified the country behind an illegal, not elected president. And we were stuck with that moron for 8 years.
The Florida recount. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know, and I see the Bush administration, that stolen election, as the end of our country.
But bear in mind, the Trump case is merely a civilian case. It only involves money. It's not a criminal case. Hillary's, by contrast, is criminal. She appears to have committed felonies and even acts of treason by her mishandling of all of this highly classified information. So, you know, I mean, what happens, Maria, when the Russians release over 20,000 emails that they were able to hack out of Hillary's account because it wasn't properly secured?
Right.
Imagine the reaction of the public to that realization.
I'm hoping that it'll happen. But, you know, listen, the Clintons seem to be as bulletproof as the Bush family were. You know, and on another level, they're all in each other's pockets. The Trumps, the Clintons, the Bushes, they're all pals of each other. And people have to realize we get like bad television. We get such crap thrown at us every day that it's laughable. And I don't know how people can take what they're seeing on, you know, mainstream media as any form of reality. Listen, we only have a few minutes left, but I have to ask you this, Jim. Because you're one of the most sensible men I know on the planet. Okay, you mentioned Loretta Lynch, okay? Loretta Lynch, right now, the Justice Department has issued a lawsuit against North Carolina over their trans bathroom law, which is the most ridiculous thing out of all the problems in this world. They're worried about who's going to the bathroom where. North Carolina saying they want to do what they want to do, and basically the federal law doesn't apply to them. What do you think about this whole mess going on in the godlike states against anybody who's different? LGBTs, trans, you know, black, white, women. Has this country gone totally insane?
Well, I thought Trump made a particularly sensible response by suggesting they should go to the bathroom where they feel most comfortable. I mean, women's bathrooms, of course, are all stalls, you know, so you're not going to have somebody coming in there to expose himself. I mean, there's perverted ideas about the grown men pretending to be women to go into women's bathrooms. If the state has a great concern, they can create a whole set of transgender family bathrooms. There are many of them in many facilities now where families can go together. They could just make them family or transgender so they could go into a separate bathroom themselves to make them feel comfortable, if that's going to pacify exaggerated concerns being displayed by the governor of North Carolina, among others.
Well, there's never been one case in history of the world of a trans person assaulting a woman in a bathroom. But now we have the Christian crazies, men who are going into the girls' bathroom like they're on some God patrol. To me, having a member of the clergy or the GOP in the bathroom would be more of a threat to me than a transsexual.
Yeah, it's more offensive, I agree.
Do you know what I mean? But nobody seems to be worried about that. And, you know, in Europe, when I've, you know, people that don't travel don't know. In a lot of other countries, you just have only unisex bathrooms. There are no separate bathrooms for men and women. Okay.
By the way, Maria, I just have to throw in one more story that John Kerry went to Northeastern and started promoting the New World Agenda, talking about to prepare ourselves for a borderless world. This is an endorsement of the TPP and the loss of sovereignty, which he and the big corporations and big bankers support, where I believe the Muslim immigration into Europe is having a massively destructive influence on the sovereignty of those nations, and therefore I believe may very well be an associated, a collateral activity to bring us into a borderless world where corporations run the world.
Well, the corporations pretty much run the world already. It's just that most people haven't, you know, caught on to that little fact. So,
a borderless world where there'd be no national sovereignty and corporations could transcend the laws and statutes, even the constitution of any state. That's what they're promoting, Maria. We have to resist it with all our might.
Absolutely. It's like the European Union and, you know, how it took away the individuality and culture and pride of so many countries where they can't even, you know, where let's say Germany was known for its fine crystal and their glassware. And when you bought a piece of it, it would have a little label on it saying made in Germany. And now you can't. Everything is made in the EU. You know, years and years ago, I did a series of shows on the proposed American Union with Robert Galen Ross, you know, to make Canada, the United States, and Mexico one country.
Yeah. The North American Union, yeah.
Right, then you got the African Union, the Asian Union, you know, and eventually people have to realize when you only have five unions out there, they're going to come under one union eventually, and that's their
right,
one
it's
world.
All part and parcel of the globalist agenda, which is one more reason for supporting Donald Trump, because Hillary is right there pitching. She's with Barack Obama with the TPP and NAFTA, which, of course, was brought to us compliments of her husband, Bill Clinton.
Oh, of course. And let's not forget how that destroyed jobs here in the United States. You know, and I don't even understand how she can have the gall to even show her face in public, let alone run for office. And, you know, I know you're pretty pro-Trump and you know I'm pretty pro-Bernie. But Bernie Sanders has the right idea. Let's put this money here, home. Okay, Americans, we're in a worse depression now, Jim, than in the 1930s.
I mean, and Maria, of all the candidates running this year on both sides, the two who are most closely aligned in their positions on the major questions are Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump.
And then we have to remember that it's still going to be whoever the Rothschild Rockefellers decided to put in office. And I hate to say it, I just had that sense it was Hillary from the get-go.
Hillary was always supposed to be the candidate running against Jeb Bush, but it hasn't played out that way, and it may yet not play out that way. I have a lot of confidence in the judgment of the American people, and that Donald Trump is going to expose the hypocrisy of the Clinton and Bush families from beginning to end.
I love it. I'm loving every day of it. I'm past the shock of this election and enjoying the fun of watching them go at each other like Godzilla versus Rodan. And there is and it's kind of fun to see the truth come out when it's not being said on my show, when it's coming out of candidates' mouths. You got to get a kick out of that. Anyway, Jim, God knows what's going to happen between this time and next month, but I'm sure we won't run out of things to talk about. So I want to thank you for joining me again today.
You got it, Maria. My great pleasure.
Always. You take good care, Jim.
You too.
Bye. Jim Fetzer, check out his work. He's got 22 books. He probably has more than 22 books out. You can get over to jimfetzerblogspot.com. Check out his work. Check out his show on YouTube, the Real Deal. We've been at this for a very long time. You're not listening to two kids that were born after 9/11. You're talking to two people who've been here since we're as old as dirt, since this world actually used to make some kind of sense. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. If you are listening at PRN, thank you for listening. Check out my site, maria.net, because I do 3-4 shows a week, especially news. And your donations and subscriptions are the only thing that keeps the show going.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active. Or get radioactive. Subscribe today.